I'm living with my parents and my husband are separated now. But he comes over during the day to see the baby sometimes, not very often. He always comes when I'm not around. I'm going to file for divorce just as soon as possible.
A 17-year-old mother, married at 15. Now she wants a divorce as soon as she can get it.
We ran off and got married when I was 15, and it just didn't work out. Whatever he did just got on my nerves, and whatever I did got on his nerves. We just couldn't get along. It was awfully silly. I can see that now, but it's too late now. I'm going to go ahead with the divorce and then just make the best of my life as I can.
A 17-year-old child faces the job of picking up the pieces of her life, a life which already includes a 7-month-old daughter and a fractured marriage. Marriage among teenagers in the United States is one of the most startling aspects of American family life today. A family life we investigate in our 3-part report here on Image America. This is Bob Considine, continuing our report on the American family. In this half hour, we look at the teenager in our families, with our emphasis on such questions as, do we keep our young people young long enough, or do we keep them young and irresponsible for too many years? Do we force them into a kind of mating dance before they're ready for it? Is the dating pattern of the teenage years a sensible one? Of course, everybody has ideas about teenagers, but playwright Abe Burrows is one who looks at teenagers with a particularly understanding eye.
It's a banal thing to say, but they're pretty good, kids I know. There are some tough problems here, and I believe that they are more impatient than the youth of the past. They don't have value until they're grown. You see, a son or a daughter used to be a very valuable piece of property. I use that word not to sound cold, but you had a farm. A son worked with you from the time he was 7, the time he could run. He helped, he milked, he did various things. And he was a valuable thing. Today, because of the urbanization of our civilization and the fact that, as I say, a daughter doesn't even have to help a mother in the kitchen except to unfreeze the peas, you know? So the kids, I think, feel they have no value. They feel unnecessary. They're somewhat like household pets until they can take their place in the world. And I believe this causes a kind of frustration and a desire to almost overthrow the adult regime or get in there fast. And I think most of the violence and unhappiness of youngsters comes from that. We're delaying them too long. There's no place for nothing for them to do, really. We have child labor laws, which are sound because children were put into coal mines and things like that. But at the same time, kids have no real use in our culture today. They really don't. And they feel it, I think. And we have to love them for themselves. And we can't say, well, thank goodness I got 5 sons, by George, I can buy 3 more acres or 10 more acres or 100 more acres and they'll help me farm them, because we don't have that. So I don't know the answer to finding use for kids, but I do think it's that's the question, that's the problem.
In the opinion of Abe Burrows, young people today feel they're of no value to the family. They're not allowed to share in the real responsibilities of the family and of society. They're too often regarded as a special form of household pet. It's been said that because we keep our youngsters in a world that is half childlike and half grown up for such a long time, that they've banded together to make up a special teenage world with its own rules, its own clothing, behavior, and standards. We'd like to ask Professor William Good of Columbia University whether teenagers, in his opinion, actually have formed this sort of subculture.
What are the distinctive characteristics of the so-called teenage society? When you look at them, you see very great differences. You look at a youngster with a duckbill haircut and with a leather jacket, and he is trying to look tough or act tough. He is surly to adults and refuses to get a job and so on, and we wonder what is our world coming to. However, when we actually take surveys of the teenagers, we find a very different pattern. In fact, most teenagers believe in exactly the same things that their parents do on almost every score, except very minor and peripheral ones. They have arguments about rock and roll, but they in general believe pretty much the same things about religion, family, democracy, government, economic systems, and so on. Indeed, speaking as a professor, one of my real objections to teenage society is that it isn't revolutionary enough. What we have done, in effect, is put our teenagers in a kind of deep freeze for a number of years, and when they get out of that, they're supposed to be grown-ups and married. We have allowed them immense freedom in the sexual and courtship areas, but warning them at the same time that they mustn't go too far, and of course they shouldn't marry. And at the same time, we prevent them from getting jobs so that they can't really be independent, and we insist that they stay in school. Now, I rather agree with all of these compulsory elements that I'm talking about, but they nevertheless make a very real set of consequences, because in effect the teenagers are thrown with themselves, and when any group of people is thrown together, they are likely to develop some kind of subcultural patterns. We give them a great amount of leisure so that they have leisure to develop their own tastes and hobbies. So as a consequence, you do have an apparently distinctive group, but in fact, as I insist, when you look at them more closely, they are doing just what their parents think they ought to do. This is so, by the way, even for their choice of their eventual husbands and wives, because there, too, it's quite clear they marry pretty much within the same classes, the same races, the same religious groups, and so on. So the rebellion isn't very profound.
Thank you, Professor Good. A picture of our teenagers by a sociologist who believes that our young people may look as though they're a distinctive group, but actually reflect the standards of their parents in all important spheres. He suggests that their flaw may not lie in being different from grown-ups, but from being too much like them. It is during the teens that young people begin the very special American pattern that leads toward the selection of a husband or a wife. We'd like to ask Dr. Floyd Martinson of Gustavus Adolphus College in Minnesota this question. What do you think of the American way of selecting husbands and wives?
Well, I think the system that is emerging at the present time is the proper system. I think years ago, courtship was the practice. A boy went with a girl in his local community. We were quite rural 100 years ago. He knew the family, he knew the girl, and when he finally decided to ask her for a date, he probably had in mind that if she would accept him, he would have her, with very little dating. But in our complex urban society now, we don't know our neighbors as well anymore. We're a mobile people, and with the development of the coeducational high school, of course, young people are beginning to go out with each other much younger than they used to, 14, 13, 12, and even 11 years old. I think 11 years old may be a little early to begin dating. But I do believe that the American dating system has to be our way of selecting mates. If we believe in the freedom of the individual, and that the individual should have increasing responsibility for his own choices, then he should, by rather normal and continued experience of relationships with the opposite sex, find out what kind of persons he likes to be with, find out what kind of personality traits match with his, and so on, so that He can make the choice of a mate when he comes older and becomes older and does serious dating in a more intelligent way.
There are two explanations for the American dating system, in Dr. Martinson's opinion. First, our emphasis on freedom of choice in marriage. The only way for a boy to choose the girl he wants to marry is to go out with many girls before making that choice. And, secondly, because our young people live in a complex urban society, they just don't know their neighbors anymore. They don't grow up together. They must learn to know each other. And out of all of this emerges the American dating system, a system Dr. Martinson thinks works very well. Perhaps the greatest criticism of the American dating system is that it begins too early. Critic Marya Manis, who writes for the Reporter magazine, is one who believes this very sincerely. Her only child is a son, but she has strong ideas about the way girls are raised in our society.
Well, it just seems to me that girls are pushed into this sort of mating dance terribly early in life. At 12, they date boys. At 14, they go steady. At 18, so many of them, millions, marry. And I think this is too early. I think that girls, like boys, should have a period to find themselves as human beings. And if a girl shows talent for music or a real interest, let's say, in medicine or anything, she should be allowed to pursue this without this constant pressure to date, to marry, to be popular. I mean, she'll do that. Obviously, the goal of life is to mate and to marry and to raise children, and that's all right, but not starting from the cradle. So my feeling, I have no right to speak, but had I been fortunate enough to have a daughter, I think I would have tried to keep her out as much as possible of this, this mating rat race that starts at 10.
A girl should have a chance to find herself as a human being before she's caught up in the mating dance, which in our society seems to begin at the age of 10. It's a cause of great concern to many of us that the rate of teenage marriages is increasing, and that the greatest failure of marriage in this country comes from this group. What makes these youngsters marry so early in life? What causes so many of the marriages to fail? Why are some successful? We talk now with two high school girls in Oklahoma, both married. First, Judith. She's 17. Judith, how old were you when you were married?
I was 16.
When did you decide to get married?
I think it was a month or 2 months after we'd been going together.
You knew each other only that long?
No, I had known him for ever since I was 13, and we didn't start dating until I was 14. I had known him slightly. He'd gone with one of my girlfriends, and it wasn't, I guess you'd say, spur-of-the-moment thing. We went together 2 years when we got married.
Really going steady at 14 and getting married at 16 is still rather unusual in most places in the country. Is it pretty much accepted as the normal thing in your high school?
I think so. On an average, I think most of the seniors and juniors in the high school up here are married, are engaged, or thinking about it, or going steady. Very few of them that are not.
How's it working out, Judith?
It's working out wonderful. We enjoy ourselves a lot. We go every weekend. It's just like when we were dating. We go to... We have our friends. A lot of people say when you get married, you lose your friends. We have our friends, the same ones. Some of them are married. We go to each other's houses. We sit around and watch television. We eat potato chips and drink pop.
Judith, have you run into any problems you felt you just couldn't manage?
Not really. I think when we both got married, we were fairly well settled down. And we just haven't had any problems so far. I guess we've been lucky.
That's wonderful. I hope you stay that way, Judith. Now let's talk to Carolyn. Carolyn, how old are you?
17.
How long have you been married?
A little over a year.
Is your husband still in school?
No, he's out. He works for a shipping company.
Do you have any children?
Yes. 3 months. Little girl.
Have you gone back to school?
Yes.
Carolyn, why do you think there's so many teenage marriages?
Well, sometimes I think it's a fad. People, like their friends do, and they do, because I know when I got married, a lot of my girlfriends right after that seemed to get married, and because, well, my husband, we bought a home and furniture and everything, and they came over and thought that I was so happy and everything that that's what they wanted, too. And so I believe that was really one of the reasons, because right after I had got married, they seemed, two or three of my girlfriends ran away and got married.
Sounds like an epidemic. Carolyn, if you had to do it all over again, answer me this. Would you do it?
No. I would wait till I was out of school.
Does your husband feel the same way?
No. He's glad we're married. Well, I really am, too, but I just think and everything about sometimes I wish that I had waited and everything because of the activities I can't participate in, but I'm happy with my baby and everything. And, well, it wouldn't be so bad if if I had a little bit of freedom, let's say. I mean, I wouldn't mind being married if, he was like us other husbands. That sounds awful, but I mean, he's real jealous, and I can't do hardly anything. One thing, if I had all to do over, I love my husband and everything, but I'd make sure that we had something in common. Like, I love to skate, and I love to dance, and he doesn't do either. He doesn't like to do either.
It's none of my business, Carolyn, but what attracted you to him in the first place?
His looks. I thought he was good-looking and everything, but looks don't matter anymore.
Thank you, Carolyn. Two 17-year-old girls, both with husbands, both still in high school. One seems to be getting along. The other, at the age of 17, has a baby and a jealous husband. A husband she married partly because he was so good-looking, partly because getting married is becoming a teenage fad in this country, a fad that is reflected in our divorce rate. One of the features of family life in the United States is the amount of conflict between parents and teenagers. A mother who lives in the Southwest tells us about some of the problems she had with her teenagers.
My kids seem to be wild. They like forbidden fruits. They like to do wild things. And I don't think it's unusual by any means. I often yearn for the type that would maybe want to do them less, but I don't think it's very unusual now.
How does this wildness show itself?
Well, I think the car is probably the number one bugaboo. At least I feel that it is, because it removes a child so irrevocably from a parent. No matter where they say they're going or what they say they're going to do, once they've driven away, they're gone, and the story they've told you is all you have until you see them again.
Your son who has the car, he's 17?
Yes, he's 17.
What are most of your disagreements with your teenagers all about?
Staying out late, drinking, driving, not spending any time at home, so that it gets to a point with me where the only thing that I have to say to my teenage son is to give him the devil about something that he's done. Because we haven't had any time to talk.
Do you think teenagers have different ideas than, let's say, you had at that age?
No. But maybe I'm not a very good parent to talk about it. I drank early, too, and smoked very early, and I also like to race cars. In fact, where I used to live, the people often used to say, she doesn't drive fast, she flies low. And I thought that was real funny, real funny. So I don't think it's all this different that everybody's making it. I really don't.
We've been talking about your sons, how about your daughter? Is she living at home?
No, she eloped with someone she hardly knew and got married, I think, to get away from home.
How old was she?
18.
Why do you think she wanted to get away from home so badly?
Well, I think she wanted to get away from me, from the domination of me, and from her stepfather, for whom she had very little fondness, if any, and get out from under. I think she really wanted to just move out of the home situation, and she did.
How much hope do you have for your children?
I don't have any hope at all for any of them.
With due humility and awareness of the many difficulties parents face in raising children, we suggest that perhaps unhappiness as well as happiness is easily passed on from generation to generation. We've been talking in this half hour of the American teenager. It has been pointed out that perhaps he is kept young and dependent for too long a time, that this accounts for the special teenage world that he has built up. We've investigated the American dating system, a system that seems to match up with our special needs. We've touched upon the serious problem of teenage marriage. Perhaps our emphasis has been too much on the problems of the teenager. In reply, we'd like to say to any teenager listening that at least we've tried to do what you're always asking us to do, and that is take you seriously